If you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to the book of Revelation. I'd like to turn over to the book of Revelation to chapter 12. I'd like to read just a little bit here. Now, I appreciate you giving me time last night to talk with you. You was patient last night. I went over just a little bit on the timing. But I guess it don't seem that way to you, but it seems to me like the clock just runs. Of course, I guess that's what it's made to do. But anyway, I do wish you'd give me just a little time tonight, though. I don't know that the Lord will even let us get into what we had on our mind, but there's a few things I'd like to say if he would. And if I do happen to run just a little bit over, don't get restless, because Paul said, I'm rude in speech, but not understanding. I'm not rude in knowledge, he said, and I've got enough knowledge to know that you got to go home sometimes. And I will let you out sooner or later. And if it's later, well, just bear with me.
Praise God.
Praise God. I don't ever know where to start. So many wonderful things are taking place in the hour that we're living in until it's hard to really know just exactly what to do. All of these things that we talk about, Christian friend, are taking place in heaven. You know, heaven is a place where things are always taking place. Is that right? Always activity in heaven. Always activity in heaven. And what we need to do is to get our eyes open to where we can see what's happening in heaven. And everything that we see in Revelation, in a spiritual parallel, as we say, that means that that particular thing is taking place in heaven. If you can get your eyes open, God is a spirit, and He's veiled Himself in all of tangible matter and all tangible creation. God has veiled Himself in it. That's why the Bible tells us that in the latter times that the knowledge of God shall fill the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything. The reason for that is because the knowledge of God is already here. Amen. Now, like Genesis said, that God has set the stars and the moon for signs and seasons. Now, they're set there for signs and seasons, but you've got to be like the wise men. You've got to know why. Now, we preach a sign or a message concerning the sign of the Son of Man. How many of you know why that they knew that Jesus was born? See, they knew that stars were set there for a sign. Is that right?
Amen.
And when they saw that great star come up, it was bigger than any of them. They knew that the King of Stars had come up. They knew that the King was born somewhere. Now, if we can understand spiritual things, every natural thing, the way that they understood it, Brother Taylor, then we'll have a continual feast. And God, who is a spirit, will continually speak to us. That's what He wants to do. But we've got to be able to differentiate between good and evil, have our senses exercised to be able to discern good and evil and understand the way that God speaks to us. Now, I want to read a little from the book of Revelation. We've got some more that's still coming in and chipping around, and that'll give them a chance to kind of get a place to sit down. It don't look like it would make a great deal of difference, folks. And it doesn't. If you're just preaching at people, it doesn't make a great deal of difference, because you make about as much noise as they're making, and you beating on the desk and kicking the air, whatever you're getting, you know, getting your way. But when you start preaching Revelation, that's the mind of God speaking. Now, I know it's still my old rusty vocal organs that you hear, and I know they're real repulsive, and I realize that. But if you can look beyond them, then the mind of His intelligence will overshadow ours, and it will be Him speaking, because He will be the one that's giving the utterance. It will be His thought pattern that is expressing itself through our vocal organs. And the Bible said, it's not be you that speak, but your Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And it's the same way if you can get in the revelation of Jesus Christ, everything will speak to you. Now the trees talk to me, I guess they do you too, but the flowers talk to Him, and the birds talk to Him, and the trees talk to Him, and the stars talk to Him. I'd just be going along. Of course, they put me in an insane asylum, you know, if they could get a good opportunity, I'm sure. Some of the devil, he'd sure do that. You start talking about the trees talking to you, but it's true, they do. The trees talk to me, the moon and the stars talk to me. Everything talks to me. I don't know of anything that don't talk to me. The only thing is, you just got to know their language, that's all. See, if you understand their language, you can talk to them and they can talk to you. And God's the only one that understands your language. And many things they say to me. And it's Christ speaking. Now, Christ is within the veil. How many of you believe that's true? God's a spirit? Alright. The Lord in the Old Testament, I'd like to say this just before we read. The Lord in the Old Testament told Israel, said, Israel, don't you make a graven image to God. Is that right?
Right.
Now, why did he do that? Because he had shown himself to Israel in a burning bush. He had shown himself to Israel in a smoking and a flaming mountain. He had shown himself to Israel in rolling back the Red Sea. And all kind of things matter from heaven. And they could have made lots of images like the Catholic Church does today. That's what they do, is emphasize everything in the natural. God created them as an antitype church so that they will preserve every natural type that was used and dedicated that God might bring it back in the end time. Look at the movies. You know what they do? They preserve types and shadows in that they reproduce that which has gone by in the years. Is that right? Like Buffalo Bill and Moses, they have movies out there. It's God's way of preserving things. Antitypes. Now, God said, Israel, don't make any graven images. The reason for that, God was appearing in everything to show Israel that he was the God and the life of all creation, but that none of this creation was his real image. And he didn't want him to make a graven image because someday he would personify himself in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, which would be his image in the earth.
Amen.
And he didn't want them to mess with any other kind of image because it would throw them off. Knowing that he was coming to him in human flesh. Now, and Paul said over there when he preached at Mars Hill, speaking of the unknown God, he said, the God that you ignorantly worship, him do I declare unto you this day? He said, why should you think that the Godhead should be like the gold and silver, seeing that we're the offsprings of God? He said, if we're offsprings of God, God's referred to us as gods, then that ought to make us realize that God is just exactly what we are. He's a human being. I thought I might get a repercussion out of it, but I didn't get nothing out of it. Praise God. You love the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seas, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time's time and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, that's reading quite a bit of scripture, but I still think I'll read just a little bit more, if you won't listen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, I want you to get this right here. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Amen. Now, I spoke the other night of people who dwell in heaven. A lot of people don't know where they're at. The Bible said that the beast blasphemed the tabernacle of God. John said, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Is that right? Amen. And then the Bible said that the enemy blasphemed the name of the tabernacle. The tabernacle of God is Jesus. How many of you know that? Amen. God's tabernacle is Jesus. And you're the many-membered body of that tabernacle. Is that right?
Right.
And in death at Calvary, you lost your identity. Is that right?
Amen.
You was baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. And tonight, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And the Bible said that you are the body of Jesus Christ, members in particular. Is that right?
Amen.
So then tonight the name of the tabernacle is Jesus.
Amen.
And that tabernacle tonight is in the earth. And the Bible said these are they that sit in heavenly places. For these are they that are in heaven, who are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring or the restitution of all things, which
Amen.
We say of course of the millennium.
Amen.
So then it said that he warred with them that was in heaven. But there came a time, the Bible said, when the red dragon was cast out.
Yeah.
You know, I like that.
Amen.
I like that. Now I know tonight that we are actually in heaven if we've been born again. But did you know that the devil still had opportunity, even with the saints in the spiritual realm, still had opportunity, or had opportunity to accuse those that dwell in heaven. That is, he's still spiritual. Brother J.T., he's still a spirit. Satan is still the prince of the ruler over the powers that are in the air. He's still the prince of the powers that's in the air. He's still a spirit. And you can't see him. You don't know what's going on. But one day God is going to make him take on a personification and cast him out of the spirit and make him be personified in an image to where all the world can see him and his evil activities. And when he's personified, that means he'll be out of the spirit and we won't have any more trouble with him.
Amen.
Amen. You'll know what's going on. You'll know where he's at.
Amen.
And you'll know what he's doing. And I tell you, the Bible said when he was cast out, the voice said, Now has come salvation. Hallelujah. As long as he's invisible and running around here and you can't see him with all of his devils and demons, it's just trouble over here and trouble over here and trouble everywhere you go, and you just don't know which way to turn.
That's right.
Because he's there.
Amen.
But I thank God there's another invisible force.
Amen.
The Bible said Moses endured in seeing him who is invisible.
Yes.
And there's another invisible force that though I can't see Satan, yet I can believe in God and in that invisible power, and God and those angels will counteract that power out there and work in my behalf according to my believing to stop Satan and his workmen from trampling down the mind of humanity. Hallelujah. What a privilege that we've got tonight, folks. One of the most glorious and grand privileges that's ever been given to mankind. What a privilege we have tonight. I wonder if I can take my coat off. Now then, there is some things that's taking place. I made the statement today, one of the reasons that I love this message the way that I do, this is a different message from any that's ever come in the earth. Now it's the same age-old message. The Bible said, ask for the old paths, walk therein, and you'll find rest to your soul. It's the same age-old message. The Bible tells us not to move the landmarks of the fathers. We don't have to move them.
Amen.
God give that to them.
Amen.
We don't have to move them. But at the same time, it's brand new, because God said, I'll do a new thing.
Amen.
I'll do a new thing.
Amen.
And God promised to do a new thing. That means that this is the unveiled. This is the unveiled Christ. That was in the veil. But this is the unveiled Christ. And it's only given to the body to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, because the thing that's going to translate the church is the mystery that's given to the church. The unveiled Christ will change us from glory to glory into the perfect image of himself. The unveiled Christ. I made the statement the other night. Joseph drove the Egyptians all out of the building. Got rid of every one of them. Because it was a special occasion. He'd been ministering to the Egyptians for a long time. Feeding them. Giving them a real revival down there when they were hungry. But my friend, there came a special occasion. There was some brethren that came in that Joseph knew was close to 10. And he put the whole world out, and he turned to these brethren. He'd been neglecting these brethren. He knew those brethren was back up there in Canaan, but he never had ministered to them. He'd been down there ministering to the Egyptians. Is that right? He even had his wife down there. The daughter of the priest of arms down there, Potiphar's daughter, already had his wife down there with him. Is that right? Already had her down there, and he was ministering to the Egyptians because it wasn't time to turn back to the Jews. Is that right?
Amen.
How many of you know that the church parallels the Jew?
Amen.
Whatever happens to the Jew happens to the church. That is in the natural. Now see, the Jew is natural, and whatever happens to them naturally is happening to you.
Amen.
But it's a spiritual transition that's going on. And we can't see it. We've got to be able to see it. I wish we had enough time in these meetings to really elaborate on some of it and break it down. I just have to trust that you understand what I'm saying. Now, I said the other night, I used a symbolic pattern for teaching the other night, where we went back and we took Israel, then we brought it down to the dark age of Catholicism, and then we brought it on over to the age of Protestantism. We tied Protestantism and Catholicism together to show that it was one age, and took it over to the millennium to show that that was the age of God in the age of restoration for the kingdom. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking God has just got 6,000 years of working with mankind, because the Bible says he worked in 6 days and on the seventh he rested. But the earth is going on 7,000 years. The world will go on 7,000 years. Like Solomon said, that one generation cometh, another goeth, but the earth endureth or abideth forever. See, there's more than 6,000 years. The number 6 has to do with man. The number 6 is man's number, and God works with man through those 6,000 years. But the 7th thousandth year is the church age. That's the kingdom age. That's the age when God restored the kingdom back to Israel. They came to Jesus and they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he just bypassed them by saying the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation, for it's within a man. He was speaking spiritually then. He was speaking to you and I. He hadn't come for the Jews then. He hadn't come to do that then. He had come for you and I, so he stayed with the spiritual aspect of it. And so it is, God will bring a natural kingdom into this world for the Jews. That earth out there, I said the other night, that millennium out there is the same earth that you're living on right now. Amen. Somebody's got the idea that that's going to be a different earth, but it's not. It's just the same earth with the bars taken away. It's the restored earth. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that's the new earth. No, that's not the new earth. The 1,000 years, millennium, is not the new earth. It's the restoration of the garden. It's the restored earth until the time of the restoring of all things. We are hid with Christ in God until we come back after the tribulation to be out in the millennium where all things are restored. That will be revealed again and be active in our body. The new earth doesn't even come in until 1,000 years later.
Right.
I believe this. Some people will not get to see New Jerusalem until that 1,000 years is over. But I am persuaded to believe that the rapture that will take place before the tribulation, that one of the purposes of it is John was carried up to a mountain and saw New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Before it ever came down.
Yeah.
And John being symbolic of the church, I believe the rapture.
Amen.
Will take us up and let us see the city of New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And being spiritual, we'll have access to it 1,000 years before.
Amen.
The Jews ever get to see.
Yeah.
It.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
Now then, that earth out there is going to be a beautiful thing. Streams running down our mountain. Beautiful flowers. Nothing shall harm me. All of my holy mountain. Say, Lord, what a day. The song said, what a day that shall be. When my Savior I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a time. Out in the millennium. What a day it's going to be. A great and a mighty day that it'll be out there in the millennium. And we will be back, ruling and reigning with God.
Yeah.
For 1,000 years.
That's what he said.
A lot of people come to church, you know, and they say, well, Brother Pike, what's the need of learning any more about God? I'd rather shout, somebody said. I'd rather feel the Spirit of God, somebody said. But friend, what we need to do is to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we can be translated and bypassed death. That's what we're trying to do.
Amen.
See, what's the good of it? Well, what's the good of going to school? There's your antitype. What's the good of going to college? There's your antitype.
Amen.
It's people that go to school and people that go to college that become the governors, that become the chief leaders in this world. It's men that have that super intelligence that does that.
Yeah.
And that's an antitype. We're sons of God. We're in college.
Well, glory.
Amen. We're in school.
Yeah.
God's indoctrinating us.
Yeah.
Did you know that every people has had a day of victory and had a regime of government except the church? Did you know that?
Right.
Look at Israel. They had their regime back there, Canaan. Isn't that right? David, their king, ruled back there. Look at the Catholics, how they ruled the world. Look at the Protestants, how they ruled the world from America.
Amen.
But my friend, the church has never ruled the world.
Amen.
But the Bible said the man-child will rise up, sit down on the throne, and we that overcome, he said, I'll give you that rod of iron, and you'll rule the nations and break the nations into pieces, just like a man would pottery. Amen. He said, I'll give you power over nations.
Amen.
You'll rule and reign with me 1,000 years. That's why we need to understand. We are in the making for kings. We are in the making for priests. We are going through a schooling that's going to make us kings. Somebody said, well, what good is it being a king? That shows you're ignorant.
Amen.
Amen. Just take a natural king in the world. What good is it to be a natural king? What good is it?
A lot of authority. Amen.
By land ruling over a whole province. ruling over a whole country,
amen,
having everything that you want. Now, to me, that don't mean nothing because that's in the natural. But I'll tell you what, if I wasn't spiritual, it sure would mean something to me. Have somebody to wash my feet when it's dirty, comb my hair when I needed it. Somebody to bring my clothes to me. Somebody to drive me around, never have to worry about nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Sit around and play with pearls and diamonds and rubies and so forth.
Amen.
Sounds pretty good. But friend, let me tell you something. If that in this world means something in the natural,
well,
how much more does it mean to have eternal life and do that?
Amen.
Have those things throughout eternity. To be young and healthy, robust in spirit,
yes,
and in body, and have throughout eternity to enjoy things like that. To be given into your hands. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's why we need to learn. The Bible said the world is rejoicing, but you're in travail. A woman's in travail until the child's born. As the child's born, there's no more remembrance of that misery in that a man child is coming to the Lord. And see, we're moaning. The Bible said we moan and we groan, and the world rejoices. He said, but your joy, your moaning shall be turned into joy.
Well, yeah.
Hallelujah. I'll give you beautiful ashes. He'll turn it into joy. There's a great day coming. That is a grand thing taking place. That's why I say that this world is going on more than 6,000 years. It's going through a 7,000th year because the church has to have a regime of government. We've got to set up a government. There's got to be a time when the sons and daughters of God rule the world. They've got to do it before it can ever be turned back over to God, who is the eternal spirit. The Bible said Jesus must first reign and put everything under his feet. Even death shall be put under his feet. And death ain't even... Did you know that death's not even conquered until after the believer? How do you know that? The Bible said after that 1,000 years, then the great white throne of judgment comes, and then the sea gives up its dead. Then the sea, see what I mean? The graves give up its dead. The graves have never surrendered its dead. The graves go right through the millennium.
Amen.
All through the millennium, the graves will still be there.
Right.
The wicked dead will still be there. We'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet in the great consummation of it.
Amen.
Then the great white throne of the judgment comes. Then the sea gives up its dead. All those sailors that's been buried, the wicked sailors, the wicked merchant marines and whatever it was buried in the sea. All the righteous will come forth just before the tribulation. All the righteous dead shall come forth. Paul said, we therefore conclude that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. But the wicked dead shall not live again until the 1,000 years is finished. That's called the second resurrection. We have part, he said, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, over which the second death, that is the lake of fire. When we go to sleep, that's the sleep in our body, that's considered a death, like Lazarus sleeping. But he said there is a second death, which is death to the soul, which is called the lake of fire. But blessed and holy is he that has part in the rapture, for over that, the Bible said, the second death shall have no power over these that have part in the first resurrection. There will be no power to destroy their souls. We was trying to bring out something the other night, but there just ain't enough time to bring it out. It looks like you got just enough time to scratch the surface, to get into a teaching, and that's about it. But there's something that's to take place. There's something spiritual taking place right now. This message is outstanding. This move of God is the most outstanding move of God in the earth. It's better than the days of Moses. It's better than the days of Elijah. It's better than the days of Brother Brown. It's better because Solomon said the end of a matter is better than the beginning.
Amen.
And this is the end of it. We're getting closer to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
It's the best part of it yet. It's the last bit of it. God has saved the better wine for the last.
Amen.
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 He's got the best wine for last.
Amen.
And he saved it for you and I. And there's something marvelous taking place. You say, what's the difference, Brother Pye? There is a world of difference. Because the other moves have been within the veil. People couldn't tell what was going on. Just a little part here and a little part there. But it's true. When I say this, it's true that even this very day, We spoke of the future things that's taking place, that'll take place down in Utica. And we spoke of it down through the years, how that in a continuation these things would take place, pouring them out. And it's came to pass just exactly. There's only one ministry that has ever done that. That was the ministry of Jesus Christ himself, when he said, I do always the things that I see the Father do. This ministry could not be given to anybody except the membership of the body itself. It had to be God.
Amen.
Amen. There's only one that can see what's going on. That's Jesus.
Amen.
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 That means that we are the membership of Christ.
Amen.
We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular.
Amen.
Like Brother Branham, he was God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
A lot of people don't believe it, but it don't change it. It's still so.
Amen.
He was God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
Now you say, Brother Park, do you believe that? I sure do.
Amazing.
You know why I believe it?
Amen.
I believe it because that's what the Word shows and what Revelation shows. It agrees with Revelation, it agrees with the Word. I remember when I started getting into Revelation years ago, every way I turned, I'd run into Brother William Brown. I'd go down this trail of Revelation and run into him. I'd get back over here and run into him, and I thought, well, who is that fella? See, I was already baptized in Jesus' name. Already knew about one God before I knew about Brother Brown. That is, before I ever had a chance to contact Brother Brown. And I wrote him about it, asked him about it. He never would even answer me. See, but running into Revelation, every way that I looked, he was out there. And finally I said, Lord, what is this? And then I saw what it was. Jesus Christ in the earth in a symbolic headship where the church would head up in him in the first dimensional pool of this thing that was to come to pass in the third dimensional aspect of godliness in this world. I hope you can untangle that and not know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Brother Branham spoke of the third pool. He spoke of the church being perfected in the third pool, which is absolutely right. It has to run into 1, 2, 3, whether it's a world aspect or whether it is a Protestant aspect, it still has to run 1, 2, 3 for us to be able to understand it. Now then, I spoke the other night about the 1, 2, 3 of Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. Or a better way to say it is Jew, Gentile, and church, or the kingdom.
Right.
Now then, I spoke of this, and we allotted a certain period of time to the Jews. We allotted a certain period of time to the Catholics. We allotted a certain period of time to the Protestants of the church. Is that right?
Amen.
But now then, if we came way over here, and picked up the last dimensional age. Now let me give a symbol here to where you can understand what I'm saying. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, there was Egypt, the wilderness, and Canaan land. Is that right?
Right.
Jew, Catholic, and Protestant. If we had time to go into it, I could prove that to you. But anyway, you just have to take my word for it. Now then, say in this Protestant age, we took this the other night, last night I believe it was, we took a historical parallel. We took it just like you would study in school. Just like the children would take their school books and pick it up over in Jamestown, Virginia, at Plymouth Rock, where the pilgrims landed. And we picked it up and we took it in a parallel. The gold rush took them to California. Is that right? They crossed over into California in the gold rush. God always uses a natural antitype in the beginning of things, which always has to do with the Jew. The Bible said the Jew first, so you know where to start. He says the Jew first in everything. So then a natural parallel running to California because of the gold rush. But when it got to California, it left the historical side of it, and the antitype was done away with. It came out of the veil, and it started back as a spiritual unveiled move of God.
Amen.
Which was the Spirit coming back, unveiled. It had to come back unveiled. It goes out of natural, it comes back a spiritual. Paul said it's sown a natural body, it's raised up a spiritual body. He said, we've borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. He said, for there is an earthen or a terrestrial body, there is a celestial body.
As we've borne the image of the terrestrial, so shall we bear the image of the celestial. That's what I'm looking for, ain't you?
Yeah.
See, God is a spirit. He's clothed himself in humanity. And he's moving in symbols and types and shadows. And unless you can get in the spirit, you can't understand it. You can go to college and you can't understand it. You can go to school and you can't understand it. Like the college professor I was talking to here a while back. He's a great man of eloquence and education, still teaching in college. He said, I never heard anything like this before. And he used words to express it that was so far over my head, I didn't even know what he was saying. I made the statement, he could have been cursing it. I wouldn't know no better because his words were so big. He was so educated. But the thing is, he said, I never heard anything like it. He said, it's got to be God. He said, it's got to be God. And my friend, it's God. It's very God in the earth moving. This God is moving in a symbolic type, and he's screaming at you and I. He's screaming at you and I like an eagle. When an eagle begins to move, and it'll scream at those babies, it'll scream.
Yeah.
That eagle's got a scream, it's like nothing else. And they know that scream.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that my sheep know my voice.
Right.
God's screaming at us. He's moving and he's screaming at us if we can just hear his voice.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. If we can just interpret and know what he's trying to say to us. There's some great things that's taking place. Now let's just give a symbolic type here. What if we do pick up over here in Jamestown, Virginia, and move all the way over to the Western world, and then come back like we said last night, coming back across the Rockies, where Brother Branham went out there in the full gospel businessmen, picked that thing up in this third dimensional type, brought it back to the Rockies, and the Rockies being a symbol of the Red Sea, in that waters mean people, and out there you've got red people, you've got red waters, and they came over the Red Sea, got in between the Rockies and in between the Mississippi River, which is symbolic of Jordan, got into the wilderness part. And I said last night, that's where Brother Branham left him. He died. When they got out there in that wilderness, he died. God took him away and left him out there. And I know for sure, I don't care what kind of camouflage has been put on, I know for a fact, I talked to Billy Paul in the desert. I stood right there at his house, and I said, Billy, I want to ask you right straight. I said, did your dad have anything left for the bride? He said, Brother Pike, I don't know no more about what to do than you or nobody else. And Daddy never left nothing. I know that's right straight from him. There's been a lot of camouflage. There's been a lot of supposing. But the thing is, Brother Branham left them, and that's where he left them at. They didn't have anything else. They didn't know where they was going. But the Holy Ghost knew where they was going.
Amen.
Praise God. I said the other night, Elijah went away, but the mantle didn't go away.
Amen.
And here it was, the Holy Ghost still out there with him. He said, fear not. As I have covenanted with you, so my spirit still remains among you. We were talking about today the word Apollyon means the devil in Greek. That's what it means. And this Apollyon Levin making thy nest among the stars, the woman setting her feet on the moon. I read here in the 12th chapter of Revelation, the Bible said when that man child was ready to be born, they knew it because the woman had her foot on the moon. My brother and sister tonight in the air types, a miracle has set her foot on the moon, the moon as the woman nation, and they emphasize the footprints. They've got it printed on little cards, and they call that the nest when the eagle landed, and he said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. He said, though thou climbest up to heaven, speaking of the carnal mind, for thy sins have reached up to heaven, the carnal mind being empty with God, he said, from thence I shall cast thee out. Apollyon climbing up to the stars, making his nest among the stars, working through Kennedy, because Kennedy was the major one that was interested in it in the year of 1960.
Amen.
He was the one that really got the thing started, stirred up. You say, Brother Park, I don't believe that. Well, why did they name the launching pad after Kennedy?
That's right.
Why did they call it Cape Kennedy? It was Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
Why do they call it Cape Kennedy?
Yeah.
Because it has to do with that dragon.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Park, what is that dragon? Why does he call it a dragon? My friend, because it comes all the way from the garden.
Yeah.
It's the long chain. of evil, a generation of vipers.
Yeah.
Why does he call it the red dragon? Because it's a bloodstream.
Yeah.
The bloodstream is what's got life. Blood is corruptible. It's that bloodstream.
Amen.
It's coming down, that trail that's coming down.
Amen.
It's blood, it's all the way down. It's that evil, indoctrinated, satanic force of blood that's running a stream all the way from Adam all the way down.
Yeah.
And it's a blood trail where they spilt the blood of the martyrs ever since the days of Abel all the way down. It's called a red dragon. Now then, but there's one thing that we can see tonight. That right here at the very time when we're going down the Utica Pike down here to have that meeting, down by the same place where the angel appeared to Brother Branham, or the voice spoke to him saying that he would forerun this coming, right at the same time they're launching the Apollo, going up to the moon, the first night shot they've ever made, I believe it has to do with that midnight cry. That same launching and the last one in a decade. Is that right?
Amen.
Apollo 17.
Amen.
Going up. What is it? The woman with her foot upon the moon. And the Bible said when this woman had her foot upon the moon, said the man child was born.
Amen.
That means that somewhere in the world tonight, that the man child is being born.
Amen.
Somewhere in the world. I believe it has to do with old little town of Bethlehem.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. I believe it does. The house
Amen.
Of bread.
Amen.
Believe it or not, I believe it does.
Amen.
Old little town of Bethlehem, how clear we see the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When that woman set her foot on the moon, the man child was born.
Amen.
If that's an antitype, and I know this is foolishness to some of you. The Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. They can't know them. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He sees God.
Amen.
That woman with a foot up here on the moon, and here she stands, and a man child being born. I said the other night, the only one that was able to get any scripture or anything else up to the moon was the Pope. I read the little article that he published, and the little article that they took up there, up to the moon. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, it was at that time, Revelation said, that the man-child was born. I said the other night, the antitype of the man-child, if America's an antitype of the church activity, then there's got to be an antitype of the man-child, and there's only been one that ever ruled with a rod of iron, and that was the Pope of Rome.
Right.
That was the Pope of Rome. And the Pope of Rome ruled with a rod of iron, being an antitype of that man-child, and the Bible said when that Pope or that man-child rules, when he comes forth, said the red dragon would be laying right there, ready to get him when he comes forth. Is that right?
Amen.
Ready to strike at him. You know that the red dragon is China.
Right.
It's communist. Red communist China, the dragon nation. That's the reason the Pope come over here and went to Washington, D.C. and pleaded with China to come into the United Nations. He's afraid of China. They call China the sleeping giant. The old saying is, don't ever wake the sleeping giant. Don't ever awaken her. I made the statement, it happened while we was down yonder in Florida when Brother Coon was down, Brother J.T. I made the statement about that time. I said that China will suddenly discover that her power lays within the multitude of her people. Shortly after that, there was a piece published in the paper, and the paper stated that China has come to recognize the fact that her strength and power lies within the multitude of her people, and across the picture had a big red dragon across it.
Right.
Just exactly like the Lord had shown. I spoke of Kennedy, and I brought it out here the other night, how that the Lord said the administration of Kennedy and Lincoln was one and the same. And I spoke of how that he was a great leader, had to do with Brother J.T. Parnell right at this time, living over near Lincoln's tomb back on that, has to do with Brother Branham, and the steps that go down to Lincoln's place is 56 steps, I believe it is, the same age that Brother Branham was when he went out.
Amen.
Not only that, but tonight, I was thinking about the little shack that he's got out back of his house, Brother Elmer here. I thought about Abe Lincoln. I said, now this has to do with that Abe Lincoln thing right at this time. And lo and behold, if the brother didn't take me right out there in the little shack, and here was a picture of Abe Lincoln's, I placed right here, and a lot of pictures of people over 100 years old or better. One of them, what was his name? Big John, Big Tree or something? some kind of Indian that they put on the Indian headpiece. Still got the picture of him. All kind of antiques out there. See, it had to do with it. And this Kennedy thing, the administration was exactly 100 years apart. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Brother Elder turned around and handed me $100 standing right there in that little shack. Now, I don't take personal offers. And when he offered it to me, I said, Brother Elmer, I don't do it. I said, I don't take personal offers. He said, would you take it and give it to somebody that needs it? I said, I've done this a few times in my life, and I took it because I felt God was in it, and already I've given it to somebody that needs it, Brother Newman. I don't spend any of that money because we don't take personal offers. But the thing I'm trying to say to you is something great and something spiritual is taking place, and the body of this movement can see it happen every step if we'll watch. If we'll be spiritual. If we'll be spiritual. If we'll stop calling the things of God foolishness in our mind and stop being a Judas by calling these things foolish and begin to try to be spiritual and understand things, my friend, something great will take place in our life.
Amen.
That woman set her foot on the moon. Now you know back there when Jesus was born, that was the man-child of the age. Is that right? And Herod immediately tried to kill the man-child. Oh, there's a lot of things connected with those three wise men that Brother Taylor knows about. But he tried to kill the child. Is that right? Did you know that right at this time, I've got the papers at home, the writings, that the government is trying to close in right at this time and kill out every little newborn church, every little newborn doctrine. They're trying to kill them out. They've got a decree out, and they're going to enforce it, that you've got to have a great multitude of people to operate. That's Satan trying to kill God's Moses of the age, like he's always done. Just like he tried to kill Jesus back then. The Bible said that at the time that Mary was heavy with child, she was going up to be taxed, her and her husband, going up to be taxed. Right now, the church is heavy with child.
Right.
It's ready to bring forth. And I predicted they'd put on a tax and that these things had come to pass, and already they're enforcing it, that they're taxing the church. Right at this time. And the same powers of Catholicism that took Jesus and put him at Calvary is rising up again to take the membership of his body, the spiritual Jew, and take him to Calvary. I made a statement not too long ago, the Negro people, that looked like that was really something that was distorting as far as appearance. The Negroes was Simon taking the cross for the church. That's what it amounts to. That's exactly what it is. They're leading the way for the church. It's just Simon taking the cross for the church that the Catholics will nail them to in the dark age and in the tribulation. In other words, the whole thing is setting in. It's a great repeat. I made the statement, I said there'll be a repeat from Pentecost, that this thing will come back in a repercussion, and just exactly like the Pope in that day took Pentecostal religion and made it the world religion. I said years ago, I said Pentecost will be adopted as the world religion. Look at it now. The Presbyterians publish articles on the front of Life magazines and different ones where they're laying hands on people and people are speaking in tongues. Look at the full gospel businessman.
Amen.
People speaking in tongues. Look at the Pope of Rome not too long ago went through the hospital laying hands on people and praying for the sick to be healed. They made it a world religion. It's the same thing. They're trying to do the very same thing right now. They did it back there in the dark age. When they did that, they killed out the real Pentecostal leaders, which was the Jesus name people, raised it up into a Trinitarian thing. And then that's when the Spirit of God withdrawed. Because you can come, 1,000 or 10,000 people can come together, but unless they emphasize the name Jesus, it's not church. Two people can come together in the name of Jesus and it'll be church.
Amen.
It'll be church. God's not looking for the multitude. He's looking for the name of His Son. Wherever the name of His Son is, that's where God will be. That woman set her foot on the moon, and at the time that that woman set her foot on the moon, it was at that very time that the man-child was born. That means that everything is right at hand. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe it. Well, let's just take a look. Just who remembers when the Jews returned to the homeland? What year was it, brother?
46.
Back in 46. Let's just take a little something and look here. Now, I'll show you something that'll fall within 6 months or a year of it. We'll come right down to it. Let's just take a look at it and see. How many remember the 70 weeks of Daniel? When he said, Daniel, there's 70 weeks determined upon thy people. Is that right? To make an end of sin and to bring in reconciliation for, that they might anoint the most holy of the most high.
Right.
Is that Bible?
Yeah.
And he said the prince that will come said that he will come in as with a flood, which was Titus in 70 A.D. And they'll plow the city like a field, which he did. As a matter of fact, the war was so great that Titus even called on God and said, don't lay this to my charge. Said, God, you've got to have a hand in this because I never intended such a massacre. It was a bloody, bloody mess. But Titus came in there, the prince that was to come. The Bible said, desolation, speaking of lies, which shall be determined. He said, for it shall be by a flood, which means many people shall override it. Is that right? That was 70 weeks of Daniel. And of course we know that's 490 years. 490 years. And you can check it out and see if it's right. When they came out of Babylon, we brought it out the other night, they had to split up over there in the days of Solomon. And I brought out the timetable of the time elements on tape here. Where we brought it out to where the kingdoms was divided. Is that right? And Judah went down into Babylonian captivity. And then about 500 years carried away into Babylon. 70 years went by. And then Nehemiah began to be moved, began to fast. And the king said to him, King Artaxerxes said to him, said, what's the matter with you, Nehemiah? And he began to just kind of stagger around without his heart being in what he was doing. God was pressing his heart. And he said, I want to go back and do something for my people. So they burned the walls and torn the walls down, burned the city down. He said, I want to go back and do something for it. He said, you go do what you will and tell them to bring you wood from the king's forest. Nehemiah went back over there and he started to building the walls. And just as it was in that day, it's the same way in this day.
Yeah.
They said the walls shall be built back in troublesome times to the Messiah.
Yeah.
Not only the natural walls, but I said the other night, the writer said, I will return in the last day, saith God, and build up the fallen down house of David, the spiritual stones, into a lively priesthood.
Yeah.
And we still got a lot of Sanballats now.
Yeah.
Sanballat got all upset because he was a half-breed. That's the way a lot of people are, the half-breeds. The half-in and the half-out.
Yeah.
The half-religious and the half-worldly. And Sanballat was a half-breed, and he stirred up the half-breeds and come against the church. Come against Nehemiah. Made it so hard on him until Nehemiah had to take a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. That's what we got. We got a trowel on one hand and we got a sword in the other. Is that right? Amen. Day after day. Tried as if before. But the Bible said he built the walls back. The angel said to Daniel, said, from the going forth of the commandment to build and restore the walls to the Messiah, it shall be 483 years. From that time going back, which left exactly 1 week, we refer to that week of that 7 years of days as the year that God said to Jeremiah and the prophets over there. We count that as the time of Jacob's trouble. Is that right? When Jacob went down there to get his wife, it was symbolic. Moses said the veil over the symbols and times. But he went down there to get his wife. We count the time of Jacob's trouble when all that famine took place and Joseph was down in Egypt. Just give me a few minutes here. I won't take too long. That clock's just running real fast back there. But just a few minutes, I want to bring out something and see if this is right. Now then, we say that there was 490 years, 483 years from the time God gave the commandment to Nehemiah back there until the coming of Messiah. And you can check it out according to chronological order. It's about 500 years. It goes right on back. We got gave some dates the other night. If you call them, that's why I give the dates so we could get around to some of these things. Now, but he said, after 62 weeks, which is 434 years, Messiah shall be cut off. Not for himself, but for his people. And you can figure it up, it'll come right down to that time that Jesus came to Calvary and was cut off from the land of the living, not for himself, but for the people. And then the Bible said, the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Titus came and burned the city. They never had any intentions of burning the city. But God prophesied he would do it, and to keep them from desecrating the holy things, it caused Titus to burn the city just as after, like the prophet said. It was not their plans to do it. Now, from this time, what did God do? He scattered the Jews. Is that right? He scattered the Jews. How many know when Jesus came in on Palm Sunday over there, according to history, came in there riding on the file of an ass, came in there, and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often would I have given thee as a hen doth her brood, but ye would not." Is that right? He came in over there. From the time of Calvary over to Titus, check it out, from the time of the cross over to the time that Titus came in is about 37 years. From the time that he went to Calvary over there, Jesus was supposedly about 33 years old. You run the thing out, and you pick it up, and you come all the way over here to the time that the Jews went back to their homeland. At the very time. Now you know, and I know, the Bible said that God deals with Israel as a nation. Is that right? He deals with us as individuals, because he said, "Let them work out their own salvation with fear and trembling." Let every man, that's an individual thing. But he said to Israel, "A nation shall be born in one day." Is that right? Deals with Israel as a nation. So then Israel came back into their homeland, and you can figure the time up, and it'll run almost right down to the time, within 6 months or a year, right down to the time when Brother Branham was killed and went off the scene. It'll drop right there. You say, "What's that got to do with it?" Everything. Everything. Now, figure up and see. 1960, Kennedy come on the scene with the same administration of Abe Lincoln as a symbol to turn the demons loose. He stood for the Negroes because the Negroes were the type of demons, gross darkness covering the people. He stood for them, and the Negroes began to cover the entire earth, signifying that the evil spirits was now loose and coming against the world. Satan being cast out of heaven, he said, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you." From 1960. I didn't know till the other day that Brother Branham, just beyond 1960, made the statement in 58, said the world's getting its last call. I didn't know that. But I had been teaching the revelation of what God had spoke to me about. And from 1960, Kennedy came in, the youngest president that the world has ever had. Said, "I'll give children to rule over you. Children shall be thine oppressors, women shall rule over thee. They that leave thee do cause thee to err." Is that right? Look at Kennedy. Kennedy came in, he was Catholic. The first Catholic president, Brother John. I believe that God rebuked America. I believe that God rebuked America with open rebuke in letting that be a perfect parallel with Abe Lincoln, which spoke against the Catholic Church when he came in. Now, Kennedy in 1960 came in, is that right?
Amen.
Protestantism in Revelation represents light. Protestantism represents light. Christianity. And when Protestantism went out, then darkness came in,
right,
because Catholicism represents darkness.
Amen. Yeah.
We fled from the old country to the forefathers to come over here to establish freedom of religion, to get away from the Catholic religion. That's why they came over here. But the time has elapsed. The Gentile days are over. The Gentile days are over. When Kennedy came in office, it signified that the Protestant age was over. That's a Gentile age. And now the powers of Catholicism was to come in. Now I know when you say Gentile age, that means that takes in the tribulation too. But I mean as far as the door of salvation being open to them. There's just a gleaning. It's going on right now just like it was in the days of Ruth. The revival has turned back to the church. Now look at it from 1960 when Kennedy come in. They took those white and black horses over there. How many remember the pictures in the paper?
Amen.
Showed light going out and darkness coming in with those horses.
Yes.
Symbolizing power. Kennedy came in 1963. About that time, what happened? Don't you remember the Pope began to take his little rendezvous about that time when Kennedy come in? You hadn't heard anything about the Pope before then. Kennedy promised when he went in office. He said, "I won't mix religion with politics." But he did it, didn't he? He turned right to the Pope and put him everywhere. In 1963, along about that time, he was killed. Is that right? He was shot in the head because the Bible said that the wound was in the head. Is that right? But it said the deadly wound was healed. Now he said, Brother Pike, they was back in the dark age. I know that. I know when pagan Rome went out over there as one of the heads of the moon. I know about the seven heads back there. I understand. I'm speaking of the third dimensional aspect of it.
Amen.
Yeah, it was. He was wounded in the head. He was wounded in the head. Is that right? In 63. Amen. What happened in 63? It was in 63 that the Ecumenical Council began the great move. Is that right? Amen. Now, if a confederation of churches has to do with the resurrection of the dead, which Paul said it does, if it's a symbol of body, spirit, and soul uniting together, then, my friend, we're at the end of the trail. When the woman set her foot on the moon, the man child was born. Is that right?
That's right.
If this Unitarian activity of this thing that Brother J.T. said just happened over the islands over here in Bahamas, what was that Catholic thing that they... Treaty of Rome. That they've already put in effect over here in the Bahama Islands. Already. The thing's already in force. Already moving. Is that right? That beast that come up out of the waters, it was nations that was uniting together. The beast is the flesh. It's always the flesh. And it come up with divine headship, so that is natural headship by divine ordinance.
Amen.
That's what it was. It came up over there. We can't go into that, but that's what it was. But if these three bodies have to unite together, then the end of the world is here. The end of the world is here because the prophetical utterance of the full knowledge of God, the mind of Christ, shows that it's actually right here at the door.
Amen.
I say this, that if Joseph, which has the preeminence, which is in America with his wife, that is the bride's over here, the true religion, if he's here, and if those 10 brethren that kicked the Protestants out back over yonder wouldn't have nothing to do with them, throw them into the wilderness over here, into the dungeon, just like it did Joseph. If that power of Catholicism that did that to the church had to come to the United States and work through Joseph to set up a spiritual or religious order to survive, then it's positive proof that there are the 10 lost tribes, that they're the brethren back over there. But the thing is, Joseph won't cater to them until Benjamin comes. Because America knows that God dealt with the Jews and that the Jews belong to God, but they don't know nothing about the Catholic Church. They ain't got no confidence in the Catholic Church. That means to get the Protestants to line up with it is to get Benjamin to come. If the Catholics ever convince Benjamin to come in, then the American people, the Protestant Church, will be afraid not to go into it because they know that God's with the Jews. Now then, they're bringing that thing together. Here's what I say. Benjamin will come because the Bible said Antichrist will go to him with flattery. Is that right?
Right.
And that he'll make a covenant with him to build that house back.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
There's a lot of things we could say there, but we're going to try to close here. To build that house back over there. That means they're coming together in a confederation of churches in a unitarian thing. They're coming together right now. They're coming together. That Treaty of Rome, T-73, all working together, just exactly like Brother Branham saw that would happen in the end time when those calendars kept flipping until they got over to the year 77.
Amen.
That means that something is close by.
Amen.
Something is close by. And my friend, whether you can receive it or not, the Bible said, let him that hath ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He can receive it. Let him receive it. But this is the message for the revival to the church, and the ones that miss it will be left. You say, I don't believe it. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It'll happen just exactly that way. Brother Branham's message was to the world, to warn the world. God gives signs and wonders to the world because a sinful adulterous generation seeks after a sign. But the Bible said we believe to see. We don't see to believe. We believe to see. We're people. Signs automatically follow believers. That's an ordination of the church. If signs ain't following the preacher that's preaching to you or following you, something's wrong with you.
Amen.
Not only the preacher, but it's supposed to be following you too. That's just automatic.
Amen.
Now then, there's something that's taking place right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Glory.
What I want you to do is get out of the veil. Get out of the intellectual reason. Get into this. Don't let it be foolishness to you. Prove all things. Before you call something foolish, check it out. Work with it some. See what it is. Like you said, a fellow overlooked an orchid while searching for a rose. It's mighty easy sometimes to pass by a beautiful pearl. Did you know you can put a pearl in the mouth of a swine or the snout of a swine and he don't know nothing about it. He just watered in the mud. That's where a lot of people is. Fellow over here in the Carolinas. Over there they put a big stone down for his doorstep. A great big huge piece of stone or something down for his doorstep. He was using it to walk on because he didn't know no better. Another fellow come along that had some of that worldly sense up here and got to pecking on it and found out it was one of the biggest rubies in the world. And that man didn't have no sense about it at all. He's walking on it. That's where the church is. A lot of people ain't got enough spiritual sense to know that they're walking all over the blood of Christ. And the great pearls of great price and rubies.
Yeah.
How many of you know that the Bible said Satan walked amid the stones of fire?
That's what it said.
Is that right? Yeah. How many know that you're those stones of fire, those lively stones? And Satan comes when the sons of God come, he's walking up and down among you.
Yeah.
He sees you.
Amen.
You believe what I'm telling you?
Amen.
They're going to come into a confederation, my brother.
Right.
Let me say this in closing. The red dragon lay waiting for the man child. Is that right? Will you give me just a minute or two to say this name before I start? One more thing that I want to add here in closing. When Daniel saw the image, and the image stood up, here he said that this great image had a head of gold, had a chest and arms of silver, he had a belly of brass, and his thighs was out of iron. Is that right? And his feet was out of iron and clay.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Most all of us know that Daniel in his revelation of that day told Nebuchadnezzar, said this head of gold is your kingdom.
That's right.
He went back to the Chaldean kingdom. Is that right?
Amen.
And we also know that the Medo-Persian kingdom come in. That was a dual thing. Is that right?
Right.
That was of less value than gold. In the next minute. Is that right?
Amen.
And then the Grecian kingdom come in when Alexander the Great tried to spread the Hellenistic religion according to history all across the continent. He went in down there. Daniel saw the Medo-Persians as a ram, isn't that right, with two horns. And then he saw this goat coming from a certain place over here, which was Alexander the Great, and said he drove right into it, and he broke the horns off the ram, and then he continued for a little while, and then that horn was broken, and out of that horn come four. Which you know and I know that Alexander the Great died down there as a drunkard, and out of that come four generals, according to history, that began to move toward the Holy Land in different places, toward the four winds and pushed. Is that right? Now, if that image was the Grecian kingdom, then the next kingdom that come in was the Roman Catholic kingdom. It came in way back there after Alexander the Great's time. And it continued all the way through Jesus' time and all the way through the Dark Age and still continuing here.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
It was wounded to this so the Protestants could come in. Now it's coming back up in the head over here.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen. That's right.
How many of you know that that's true?
Amen.
That pagan Rome was killed out and papal Rome come right back in its place.
That's
where it's at over here. Is that right?
Amen.
Setting up over here. Now, you say, what are you saying, Brother Potter? We know that the thing that Rome uses is iron. Gladiators, they're known for their chariots of iron, their spears of iron. Gladiators, is that right? And when you refer to Russia, you refer to it as communist pottery or clay. Is that right? And it said that those 10 toes, which was those 10 kingdoms, that they came together. But I said the other night that communism and Catholicism will not mix. You can't put it together. Because communists hate Catholic priests.
That's right.
I've read in history where they covered them up alive. They buried them alive. They hate them. They won't mix. But they're going to try to come together in a religion and a government to make up the 10 nations that's only under the common market of Europe that has to do with it. But the Bible said in the days of those kingdoms that a little stone would shoot out of the mountain. And it came rolling down through Babylon.
Yeah.
Tearing down the kingdom of the world. That means there's got to be a revelational message that's revealed in this hour that will strike that thing and tear it down.
Amen.
It's got to be. Because it was in the days of that them kingdoms.
Amen.
That's when it came back. That confederation, my brother, is coming together. That's that image of the beast. That's that same image back there that was 60 cubits high and was so 6 through and so forth, 6 by 6 by 6 over there that they tried to make Daniel worship. It was the same image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. It was the same tree over there that had to be cut down that said it's by the decree of the watchers. Let 7 times pass over it and let the dew of heaven fall on it, giving the heart of a beast. Is that right? And Daniel, when he saw those beasts over there, how many remember what happened over there? When he saw those 4 kingdoms. I'm going to close. When he saw those 4 kingdoms. And he looked over and he saw a lion that had, the Bible said that this lion came out there. And he had wings, and the wings were plucked. And the lion stood up and he had a man's heart. The same thing, it's still the image. Come right on, and he saw that bear, and that bear had 2 feet up on one side and had 3 ribs in his mouth. And then come right on down a little further and had that leopard with 4 heads and 4 wings on it. And then he said the next beast was terrible to look at. When he looked at it, he said it had iron teeth and brass nails. Is that right? And devoured much flesh. Is that right?
Amen.
How many of you know that when pagan Rome came, that they actually took mummified things that had nails on the inside of it and would make a man walk into it and those nails would close up and go slap through the man? How many of you remember that? It's true, and then drop them down into a pit. This thing was terrible, but it was the Roman power. It was a Catholic power, and if we had time to go into the visions more, we could show it very clearly. It was the Roman power that right now is getting ready to throw the church into tribulation. Right now. This thing isn't real to some of you, but I'll tell you what, when you step in one of those boxes and those needles or those pins or nails begin to penetrate your flesh, that fat, gluttonous belly of yours that you've let be your God and kept you in such a condition that you can't come into a real reality in the spirit, you'll wake up, my friend. It'll be real to you then. You better get down to business. Now you say, what are you trying to say, Brother Parker? I'm telling you, the end of the world is here. If you miss the rapture, you're in trouble. If you miss the rapture, you're in a horrible place. My friend, we need to shake ourselves. It's high time that we awake from sleep. Let's stand together. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. You've been very courteous, very good, and I'm not scolding you. I'm just warning you. The Bible said, the more as we see the day approaching, friend, it's time to wake up. If they're coming together in a confederation of churches, that's that beast that come up out of the waters over there that had that bare feet that was carried, just like Daniel's vision. I really believe that those feet had to do with the feet of the bear. I believe it had to do with communism. I believe that communists will carry this beast. I believe that's the power that will carry it. And that leopard body, I believe, has to do with China over there and being spotted with the black nations. I believe that. And I believe that that head of that beast has to do with Great Britain and Jerusalem as the mouthpiece of that thing by which it will work. Most all of us know that the Bible said the whore, when he explained it to John, was that city of Rome. And said that the hedge was the 7 mountains that the whore sat on. Is that right? And we know what the great red dragon was. We know it was Satan. And we know that the beast was exactly like the dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, which was an incarnate thing. I made the statement here the other night. I said that that was a symbolic thing. When the 10 commandments came, it was a symbolic thing. And I said that Jesus was symbolic of the serpent being nailed to Calvary, like Moses lifted him up in the wilderness to make an end of sin. Is that right? And those 10 commandments made war against the Lamb. Is that right? It said that those 10 horns made war. Is that right?
Amen.
Those 10 commandments, though they were holy and though they were pure, the Bible said these kings God put it in their heart to give their kingdom unto the beast, that is, unto the flesh and the nations of national activity, until this thing be fulfilled. And sin that got its strength by the law. How many of you know that?
Right.
Though the law is just and holy, though Jesus was just and holy, yet it was a symbolic thing. The 10 commandments brought the penalty of death upon the Lamb. Is that right? For we esteem him smitten of God the Word. Is that right? God smote Jesus. we esteem him smitten of God. That means that the law had to smite him. And it made war, but the Lamb overcame them. The Lamb overcame the commandments and folded them up and laid them away to do away with sin. Sin has no more strength. He got its strength by those 10 commandments. And that beast that's coming up out of the water is going to get his strength by those 10 kings. Is that right? But the Bible said those kings will hate that beast. And it'll turn and burn her flesh with fire. Is that Bible? I believe that's the bomb that'll come on her. Burn her people with fire. I believe that. I believe it's coming. I'll cast her children into great tribulation. Her into a whoredom bed of religious activities. And then bring tribulation on her children and kill her flesh with fire. I believe he's going to do it. I say this in closing. The confederation of churches is that great image that Daniel saw in that constitution of nations. And it's that great image that had power to speak, that they're going to give it power to speak. Just like this thing that Brother J.T. spoke of about Brother Branham, it's a perfect type of it. I wish we had time to go and bring it out right down the line within this third dimensional act right here. But my friend, it's happening just exactly like the Holy Ghost said it would happen. Right down the line. Not a jot, not a tittle missing. Everything is perfectly in line. That confederation of churches being that image where the nations will come into likeness of it. It will speak. It will speak by the authority of those powers that give it the power to speak. Taking it out of school right now. Apollyon the 17 going up, the woman with a foot on the moon, the man child being born. That means somewhere in the land. Herod is trying to kill him out. Herod is trying to kill him out. That's why that Brother Branham being dead for 7 years, this thing had to fall at Christmas time. The Lord spoke to me in Florida, showed me his death, then over in Mississippi, showed me that his ministry would be over near the year 66. He would come out of the desert, and that with the death of Brother Branham, that these things would begin to happen. And that he would die just before Christmas Day, which we see it, and he did. Now here it is, almost Christmas Day again. Something is taking place. Has to happen around Christmas because that's the birth of Christ. Let's lift our hands up. This is the last night of the revival. I took just a little longer. It still isn't late. I went past 9:30. But I took just a little bit longer than I've been taking. But I want you to lift your hands up with me for just a few minutes.